This is one of my favorite passages from the Bible, and it will kind of go along with the talk that I'm going to give. And it's John 14. Any of y'all like to read along with me? I'm going to read from a pew Bible. I thought about bringing my own, but sometimes I think that gets really confusing when you're reading in a pew Bible and there's another Bible being read. Even though they're similar, they're different. So I'm going to try to stick with it, and I hope that may not be exactly what's up on the scripture, but on the board. But here we go. John 14, 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. May the Lord's words touch your hearts and minds. Good friend of mine, his name was Jerry Carter, and I may have to stop every little bit so my emotions don't get the best of me. He was one of my fellow legislators in the House of Representatives. He was also a preacher. And Reverend Jerry Carter founded Reidsville. For all y'all don't know where that's at, that's kind of up above Greensboro, heading towards the Virginia line. He founded Reidsville Baptist Church, I think it was in 1988. He had been their only pastor since his founding of it. It had grown. It had prospered. I think it was in its third or fourth building as of now. Found an old schoolhouse that the county had decided they didn't need no more, and they purchased it and built a church on that grounds and have a school where they teach. Also, they have their church where they preach. Jerry was a good man. got an infection in his colon and lower part of his intestine, and he couldn't get over it, and he couldn't shake it. And didn't want to have to do it, but they finally decided surgery was going to be the only way. And so, with the issues that we have nowadays, and he was in Baptist, it was really a unique situation. Matter of fact, I think he was one of about probably less than a couple hundred people in the whole United States that had this, they actually called it a syndrome. So they were documented. First one in North Carolina, and it was at Duke, and so Duke was, I told him, I said, are you a patient or a guinea pig, Jerry? Because they're checking everything, documenting him the whole time as they're learning about this syndrome, they called it. But anyway, they decided that the only way that it was going to get any better was to have surgery. And Jerry was not looking forward to that. It was not supposedly going to be a real difficult surgery, but as we all know, surgery is surgery, and anything can go right or wrong. And we had actually took a trip, a lot of us legislators had took one this past July, the end of it, to Utah. And it was going on at that time. He was getting ready to do his surgery. And Jerry had and his wife had gone with us on the trip before in this event out to Phoenix. So me and Cindy both got to know his wife, and they were just good people. Just good people. You could tell the Lord worked in them. Well, while we were out there, we had got news that the surgery had gone okay, but Jerry was kind of depressed. It took about 6-7 hours. So one of my friends that was with us on the trip said, you ought to give Jerry a call. He'd probably like to hear from you. And I was busy. We were having fun. We were sightseeing. We were going to meetings. We were doing a lot of things. And so I decided instead I'd text him. And I did, and I texted him, and I texted him probably what I would have said if I would have called him. And he answered back that he appreciated my text. And we got back that Sunday. And Monday morning, that was a Saturday, I think, when I texted him. Monday morning, about 8 o'clock. Maybe a little before that, I got a phone call from one of my good friends, one of my other legislators, that Jerry had passed. He had woke up about 1 in the morning out of a dead sleep. They thought he was doing fine. Started coughing and couldn't stop coughing. And it proceeded to get worse. And I didn't really get to say bye. I kind of regret I texted, not called. I'm sure he'd like to hear my voice. Not that it's angelical, but just that it would be good to hear your voice. I regret that. But I can't take it back now. So, it's been tough. I used to call Jerry two things, because he's a good man. First, I called him my conscience when I was in the legislature. Because I'd get mad, or something would happen. And I'd say, you know, I'm going to run a bill, and I'm going to do such and such, and we're going to fix this. I'm going to show them how we're going to get this done. We're going to do it. And Jerry would go, you know you can't do that. And then he would explain why I shouldn't do that, why I shouldn't run that bill. And it was quite comical, but we had this conversation more times than y'all really want to know from your representative that he told me I can't do that. I shouldn't do that. One other thing I used to always say about Jerry, because there's a lot of times when we go into the floor, it gets pretty heated. It does. And I have to watch myself. My temper will flare. But I always felt like, when I had Jerry Carter with me, that he was the Ark of the Covenant. And when I went to battle with him, I knew we were going to prevail. Because we had God on our side. I don't care what the mother people brought. It didn't matter. I had God on my side when I had Jerry Carter beside me. So it's going to be hard to replace that. Luckily, I got Cindy. She's always been my conscience otherwise, telling me what I couldn't do. So I've got that going for me. She ain't down in Raleigh, so I have to mind myself. But it's going to be hard to replace the Ark of the Covenant. But on the way to the beach at Labor Day, I had been on his website at their church, Reedsville Baptist, and he had some sermons on there. So we could watch him preach. And I had been with Jerry when he had preached, and we have a Bible study on Wednesdays right around lunchtime. And I had been in there quite a few times when he talked. And I got to like Jerry, because his sermons were just matter of fact. Maybe a little bit like what I'm doing today. He was just talking with you. And one of the sermons that he had online was kind of funny. Or not funny, but kind of ironic. And he talked about going home. You know, last week, Tim Sunday School wasn't doing well, and he looked over at me, and he said, "You got a sermon?" And I said, "Well, I'll probably come up with something. It might have a little political twang to it, but I might could come up with something." And I think he opted for no, because he wasn't sure what I was going to say, and I don't blame him. But I thought about it more this past week, not realizing I would get a call this morning. Now, mind you, I didn't sit down and write up anything really great, and I didn't really have anything, but I did think about a pathway, and this pathway is what that sermon said to me that Jerry preached as we rode down the road with modern technology and was able to watch him preach, even though he had been dead about a month and a half or more. And he talked about going home, and you know what? You know, the last week was homecoming, and the preacher talked about that a little bit, and it's kind of ironic. That sermon was from 2018. And Jerry got to go home. And it's kind of weird to see one of your friends preach a sermon on wanting to go home, knowing that he has gone home. And kind of the analogy he used in that sermon is, life's too short to fold shorts. Now, yesterday I come home, and there's a whole lot of shorts my wife had ironed that I wore in the last week or two. And I'd made a deal with her that I would hang them up if she would iron them. Well, I kind of fell through on my end of the deal. They're still not hung up this morning. But they're going to get hung up before the day's over. It's like I've told her many times. If you tell me and I say I'm going to have to do it, you don't have to get on me and remind me every 6 months till I get it done. You don't have to do that. But in that, he basically said, life's too short to fold shorts. Life is short. It's hard. It's difficult. It's good. It's bad. It's not perfect. It's never going to be. Now, I ain't saying go home and throw all your laundry out on the floor and just pick out of it and do whatever you want. I don't think that's going to work. But I got his message. Don't get caught up in the little things. Don't worry about the stuff that's not really going to make a difference when it's all said and done. As the scripture says, God feeds the birds of the air. The flowers of the field are beautiful and clothed. He will take care of us. You think he won't. You think you've got to do it. And you have to do your part. And I have a saying a lot of times, you know, work like it's all on you, but pray like it's all on him, because it is. And if you do that formula, it'll probably work out. It'll probably work out. Cherish each moment. Take that extra step. Maybe don't text. Maybe pick up the phone and call. Because, you know, I had it in my hand. It wasn't like I couldn't get to a phone. Or better yet, just go see. Go spend that time. Think about what you would like to have happen to you if you were in a certain way. Would you like to have somebody come see you? To call you? To care about you? To just wonder what you're up to? I know a lot of times we see people, they're not in church for a couple weeks. And I'm sure we go, well, I wonder what's up with them. Of course, it could be the McNeelys and we're just gone all the daggum time. But maybe find out what's up with them. I don't think you're really being nosy. I think really you probably care. It's real easy to let things slide through the cracks. It's real easy to say, well, I'm sure they're fine. I'm sure they'll be all right. It's no big deal. It would be nice, though. It'd be nice. In that sermon that Jerry preached, he talked about not fearing death. Now, I did talk to Jerry, but it was probably about 2 weeks before his surgery on the phone. No, it was about a week and a half. It was a little bit of time before his surgery. And he told me then, he said, you know, I ain't afraid of dying. He said, I'm more afraid of having to wear that colostomy bag for the rest of my life. And I said, well, Jerry, we just got to do what we got to do. And he said, yeah, I know. He said, but if the Lord come got me, that'd probably make things a whole lot easier. Don't miss an opportunity, folks. Don't miss an opportunity. If you don't know who Jesus Christ is, I pray you do. If you do know who Jesus Christ is, try to be more like him. Because I truly believe that Jesus would have called his friends to the text city. I'll think about that for a while. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for missed opportunities. Forgive us, dear Lord, that we get too busy to understand what we really need to do. Continue, Lord, to make sure that we realize what's important and what's not. Dear Lord, it was good to see Curtis here today. I pray, Lord, we look for those who are sick, who are trying to recover, who are trying to get over illness, who are trying to work through mental issues, who are trying to get back on the path and have fallen off, Lord. And I pray that we help them. Now, I'll finish this talk today, and I'll probably have an opportunity this afternoon to do something like I've just been talking about. And there's a good chance I probably won't take my own advice, but I pray I do. I pray we all do. Let us love each other the way that you love us, Jesus. In your name, amen.